Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton. Josh, still a little under the weather. He's here with us, though. Appreciate it, Josh. Thank you for sticking around. Fellas, tell me this. Like, we've been trapped inside. We talked a little bit about movies yesterday on the show. What's a movie that you once thought was great or at least fun to watch that was actually just terrible? And I mean, like, terrible. We talked about, like, The Ernest Goes to Jail. It's kind of a weird movie. I don't think it really falls in this category. Like, what's a movie you thought was good that then later you watched it and you're like, God, this is really bad. But I remembered it being really good. What brings it up was this week my wife and I watched a couple movies. We watched Hitch, which was great. But then we watched Failure to Launch with Matthew McConaughey and the girl from Sex and the City. Oh my God, it was so bad. And I remember thinking that movie was great.
And Terry Bradshaw's butt.
Terry Bradshaw is like only good thing in the whole movie. Like, oh, it's so bad. It was so bad.
All right, this movie back in the day I thought was awesome, and then I rewatched it a few years ago, and I was like, this is not good. I feel like I'm going to get some hate for this, though.
Go for it.
And maybe it was my mood, but rewatching Full Metal Jacket was not that good.
Ooh. I can see it. Full Metal Jacket can make
kind of weird.
It's one of those movies that can make you cringe too. It's a very uncomfortable
cringy,
movie.
Yeah.
It's designed to be very uncomfortable. So, yeah, I don't know.
I think
watched
all
it
of
so
Kubrick's
long,
films
long.
Are like that though. Like they're not easy to watch.
Sure.
Any of his stuff is out there, from A Clockwork Orange to 2001. Like they're all like, not like something. Oh, I can't wait to go home and watch that. Like if you do that, you're a weirdo.
For sure. But, God, Sarah Jessica Parker, like, how in the world did they put her with Matthew McConaughey in Failure to Launch? It was so bad. Like, she came across as, like, a 50-year-old woman trying to, like, seduce Matthew McConaughey, who was, like, probably 45 at the time, but he still looked like he was 30 or 28 or 30. You know, it was like, I don't know. It was so cringy and weird. There was no chemistry between the two of them. Ugh. I remember thinking that was a good movie at the time, but watching it back, like, Terry Bradshaw is the only good part of the whole movie. He's hilarious, but man, maybe what was the girl that went on to play a New Girl? I can't think of her name right this second. She was in it and she was funny. She was like a bit character though. Like she wasn't any of the main actors or actresses. So weird.
I'll tell you one I watched last week that, this may spark a debate here on this podcast. Movie that's supposed to be good that honestly I never really watched. And then I made it a point to say, ooh, it's on, let me record it, and I'll sit down and watch it. And I did, and I'm like, this isn't that good. The Natural with Robert Redford.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I get the scene. Like, it's got an iconic scene, but the movie as a whole... If I had to rank top 10 baseball movies of all time, I don't know if Natural would be on mine. And I know that seems crazy.
Ooh, that's sacrilege.
I know the natural kind of sucks. I'll say it.
Yeah, nice. Well, yeah.
It's not that good. It's lame. It's like it's kind of vanilla. It's just kind
I
of
fell
meh.
Asleep watching it. I gotta be honest.
There is no flavor to it. There is no personality.
No flavor.
To it.
Yeah. Agreed.
I actually agree with you guys. I fell asleep watching. I've never watched it from beginning to end without falling asleep. So, yeah. JT, did you get to watch Semi-Tough?
Not yet. It's on my list, though.
Okay. I knew you had it. I thought maybe I showed you had it to you.
It's in the queue. My buddy Nate listens to the show, and he's always quick with the movies, and he's like, "Hey man, I got it for you, man. Check it out whenever you want." And
nice.
He's a listener, so as soon as I get a chance, I will. But I gotta cut through the Marvel universe right now.
Sure.
Once I'm done with that, then I'll detox with a little.
What's your favorite Marvel movie so far? Which one have you liked the best?
Iron Man. To me, Iron Man, like, if you cut out all the Marvel movies, I think Iron Man stands alone as, like, its own franchise. Like, if they want to make, like, 7 Iron Man movies, I think they could have.
They probably could have, yeah. They kind of did.
Which is so crazy because there's no way in 2007 you would have said that Robert Downey Jr. is going to be one of the biggest actors in America.
No. Right. Like,
there's no
way. Oh, yeah.
And what's funny is I love Robert Downey Jr. for an entirely different style of movie. Because Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one of my favorite movies all time. Like, it's top 10 for me, all time movies. And he's amazing in that, but it's totally not anything like a Marvel movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you guys ever seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Mm-hmm.
Surely. Hey.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Yeah, ton of fun. Really complex kind of movie. You know, like slow burn, but really good. It's got, oh my God, Val Kilmer as the gay detective, mm-hmm. You know? Ton of fun. Have you seen it, Josh? Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Nope.
No? Oh, you should watch it. That's a movie you and Nikki would like. You should find a way to watch it. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Good movie. You were talking about Semi-Tough, though. Other Kris Kristofferson movies. Have you guys ever seen Convoy?
No.
You got to add it to the list. Based off the old country song, Convoy. Convoy. You know that
old
song?
Old C.W. McCall?
I love that song. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a whole movie based off that song. Whole movie. It's good. It's kind of racial related. It's got race relations stuff in it. It's got Kris Kristofferson standing up for the man, up to the man. Yeah, I mean it's a good movie. You should check it out. It's bad. It's got terrible acting. The story's strong though. I'm surprised it's not on more old like FX style shows. But it's probably got a lot of cussing in it or something, or maybe the racial stuff gets too overt. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I watched it, but yeah, good movie. Yeah, that's it. Kris Kristofferson did some weird movies and some good movies. Yeah, I'm serious. Weirdest movies I've ever seen. Kris Kristofferson. A Star Is Born. Weird. Heaven's Gate. Super weird.
Have you
weird.
Seen the new one though?
I have not.
The Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga version.
I have not. Is it better?
It's good. Bradley Cooper does the Joaquin Phoenix thing where he actually sings his own stuff.
Right,
and basically for 2 hours he is a singer-songwriter. And the soundtrack, actually, outside of that real cheesy song they do, mm-hmm. like the first song that his name is, what's his name in the movie? Jackson something. The first song they play is actually really good. Where you're like, dang, dude, like Bradley Cooper kind of rocks. Like it's very drive-by truckers kind of southern rock. Thing.
Yeah.
And of course Bradley Cooper plays like the coolest musician ever because he's Bradley Cooper. He's like this really good looking dude, but he's like this total drunk and you know, just the epic, you know, rocks like basically he's like Ryan Adams, you know.
Gotcha.
It's really good. I mean, even I knew what the story, and I usually hate remakes because I'm like, why would I watch a movie that I've already seen? It's really good. Really awesome.
Nice. Heaven's Gate, have y'all ever seen that with Kris Kristofferson? Weirdest movie ever. So weird. Oh my God. Super weird. It's like the definitive Kris Kristofferson movie. Also, have you ever seen Kris Kristofferson without a beard? He looks so strange. I don't know. He looks like he should be like Marvel villain. Look it up. Look up Kris Kristofferson. Like his profile on the right-hand side of your page will show him without a beard. And he's old, but it's weird. It's very strange. fellas, I got to talk to you about this. The New York City Department of Public Health put out an article. It was 2 pages long, dealing with sex and the coronavirus. And it's some of the funniest reading I think I have ever read. So without further ado, let me just share a few portions of this. And I will try to omit the more explicit portions. All New Yorkers should stay home and minimize contact with others to reduce the spread of COVID-19. But can you have sex? Here are some tips for how to enjoy sex and avoid spreading COVID-19. Okay, that's the intro.
I love when the government gives me sex tips. I think that is what the government is built for.
Number one, know how COVID-19 spreads. You can get COVID-19 from a person who has it. Did you know that? The virus can spread to people who are within about 6 feet of a person with COVID-19 when that person coughs or sneezes. The virus can spread through direct contact with their saliva or mucus. We still have a lot to learn about COVID-19 and sex. COVID-19 has been found in feces of people who are infected with the virus. COVID-19 has not yet been found in semen or vaginal fluid, and we know that other coronaviruses do not transmit effectively through sex. Number two, have sex with people close to you. You are your safest partner. That act will not spread COVID-19, especially if you wash your hands and any sex toys with soap and water for at least 20 seconds before and after sex. The next safest partner is someone you live with. Having close contact, including sex, with only a small circle of people helps prevent spreading COVID-19. Feel free to comment.
Agreed.
You should avoid close contact. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, probably if you're going to have intercourse, I would start with the people that live in your residence.
Yeah.
Assuming they're of age and, you know, married to you. That would probably be number one.
They didn't specify that part, but you would think.
So, right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, whatever. Maybe it's a cohabitation thing. Maybe it's roommates, you know.
Oh, it is.
I'm always curious. There's situations where you have a guy and a girl live together.
Let me be very clear. Let me continue here for you, JT, so that you don't have any questions. You should avoid close contact, including sex, with anyone outside your household. If you do have sex with others, have as few partners as possible to avoid group sex. If you usually meet your sex partners online or make a living by having sex, consider taking a break from in-person dates, video dates, sexting, or chat rooms may be options for you. Three. Okay. This is where I may have to edit some. It's only been a little weird so far.
Now, okay. All right.
Take care during sex. Kissing can easily pass COVID-19. Avoid kissing anyone who is not part of your small circle of close contact. I'm going to leave this next word blank, but let's just say this particular act might spread COVID-19, for virus and feces might enter your mouth. Condoms can reduce...
Analingus?
Rimming, I think, is the word they actually used. Condoms can reduce.
They used the word ribbing.
They did. It's in bold print. Yes.
They said rimming. They didn't even use like the Latin
term.
No,
they didn't. They went straight up with it. Yeah. It says condoms can reduce contact with saliva or feces, especially during oral anal sex. Wash up before and after sex is more important than ever. Wash hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds and wash sex toys with soap and warm water. The New York Health Department may change recommendations as the situation evolves. This was up for all of about 24 hours, and then it got made fun of so heavily that it got taken down. A lot of people were surprised to learn what you call analingus. That seemed to be a very shocking thing to a lot of people on Twitter. If you had kids around, we're very sorry. But, oh my God, I like to have died. Josh, do you feel more informed now?
What?
Huh? You just tuned totally out.
Sorry, guys.
Huh?
I'm struggling.
I understand. JT, do you feel
more? No, we're just talking about rim jobs on the show. Yeah. Also, I think this is just something they should have up forever. This doesn't necessarily have to be COVID related. In general, folks, wash your private parts.
Yeah.
Even after coronavirus has left us, can just wash your butthole.
Yeah, it seems like a good plan. I mean, you know, I would recommend going to the bidet at this point. You know, toilet paper is going to be so expensive. Someone today I saw suggesting like
only letting people that you know around your butthole.
I probably wouldn't even recommend them, if we're being honest. Guys, I did watch the funniest stand up that I think I've watched in a long time this week on Netflix. And
oh my god, I watched it, Kenny.
New Netflix.
I watched
special,
it,
and I like to have died.
It's so good. It's so
I have
good.
Not laughed that hard. God. I have not it's laughed Bert. That hard in a
you,
very
you know
long
him.
Time.
He did the
Bert Kreischer.
I am the machine bit. Yeah, you've seen him before, man. JT.
JT, didn't you tell me this guy was like the story of Van Wilder or something? Like,
allegedly, he is who the movie Van Wilder, Ryan Reynolds' breakthrough performance was based on Bert Kreischer.
Nice.
At Florida State University.
That was actually a good movie. I mean, it's bad, but it was good all at the same time. But Josh, did you see it? Did you get to watch it?
I watched the whole thing, man.
The first 20 minutes are pretty crude. I mean, like, it's pretty bad. After that, though, like, I died from all the family talk. Because that was the funny stuff.
Tasteful.
He was talking about how dumb his daughters were. Yeah. Was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. And I cried. I laughed so hard.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Also, any man confident enough to look like that and deliver his entire comedy sketch with no shirt on is tremendous.
I liked his opening bit about writing the joke for the Starbucks kid. Like,
oh yes,
that was
great,
pretty tasteful. Like, it was pretty. Basically, he did this whole long 20-minute joke about white dorks being offended at bullshit, basically. But how he led up to it was just brilliant. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. Writing a joke about writing a joke is fantastic. That's like amazing comedy.
Yeah.
And
it was
and
pretty
the
good.
Fact that he could do that
was
pretty
it was
great.
Good.
And then talking about walking around his house naked with his gun and his dog and no bullets in his gun is the funniest thing. Oh my God. Oh God.
His he's known for his The Machine went viral.
Yeah.
So
I remember
everybody
that,
knows
right?
him from The Machine.
Right.
Well, his other stuff is not really that strong. Like his other stand up stuff, it's okay. So I wasn't expecting this one to be like, this amazing, but it was pretty good.
It wasn't as politically charged as Ricky Gervais, but I would put it up there as good as Ricky Gervais' Netflix special. Like, Ricky's probably is more
he's
substantive to culture and society kind of thing, but, like, just as far as straight comedy, Kreischer was dead on, man. I loved it.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Definitely some subtle blowback to cancel culture, you know?
For sure. Good. Yeah. He's apparently big. He talks about it in the show. He's apparently buddies with Joe Rogan, like really good friends with him or something. So,
he was on Joe Rogan.
Was he?
And he's got his own podcast called The Burtcast. It's pretty good. He has a lot of, really cool, interesting people on there.
I can see him being
a podcast.
He seems to not like give a crap. So I can see him being a really good interview. You know, like he pretty much has nothing off limits for him. So,
And he's kind of like just a regular Joe too. He's probably not.
Oh,
he's
God,
not insanely
yeah.
interesting.
Comes across that way.
He's just kind of a dude. Yeah,
and he's okay with that. He like embraces being a dude. I think it's kind of what makes him.
He had a show
amazing.
Like 10 years ago. He had a show on Discovery Channel. I used to watch it back before you.
Bert
you
the Conqueror
streamed,
was that it?
Shows. Yeah, was it was pretty one? Cool. Like he. It was this travel show. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't remember much about it. I just remember that it existed. This is about the end of it. But yeah. The I Am the Machine special, if you haven't seen that, you need to look that up. That's hysterical where he's talking about.
It's YouTube.
So the thing about Bert is I don't know if his stories are actually real. I don't know if his comedy's real or if he just writes it, but it works either way. It's hilarious.
Right.
But I think we get. we buy into the bit that comedians are always telling us a true story, and that's part of what makes their comedy funny.
No, you know, like, most of it's not.
True. But most of it's not. Like Jerry Seinfeld, like I think a lot of people think most of what he talks about actually happened, and no, he just sat around and thought up how it could actually happen, you know. Anyway. It was the best stand-up, though, that I've seen on Netflix. Probably Netflix is doing a good job with stand-up, man. I've enjoyed most of the ones I've watched there lately. Of course, I don't watch some of the crazier ones that seem politically motivated to begin with. But what was the Asian one you recommended? The guy with the Asian guy you recommended, Josh? Because I love that one, too. He was funny. He wasn't as funny as Bert, but he was funny. He was funny. So. Yeah. Yeah, sports. Yay, we miss them. Just think, today would be the day that baseball season started, I think, if it hadn't all gotten shut down. I'm sad.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of that. JT, you're going to take us to the quarantine files. Are you ready?
Gong gong gong. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode. I guess we're
welcome
gonna call
to
this
the quarantine, files.
Quarantine files. I don't know, there's gotta be a better name somewhere. We'll figure that out. I got a special guest,
the Twilight Zone.
Unsolved Mysteries. If you have any information, is that what we're gonna just me standing in a foggy alleyway with a trash coat on?
Official title that comes on my paycheck as broadcast assistant. I like that.
The color guy?
The color
guy, Mr. Bryce Kuhn, working for the now you work for the Birmingham Barons, is that correct?
Yes, sir, over in Birmingham, Alabama, yeah. So that's, I work there, work from home now, but yes, I like to say that I do.
Well, we appreciate you coming on with us. You've been a longtime listener and supporter of the show, so we wanted to have you on to give you some time to talk and hang out with us here because... Man, you go way back with the show from, let's see, you're from Rome, actually. Is that right?
Well, I'm from Columbus, Georgia, but I went to college at Berry College in Rome. So obviously the ties with Josh there, Josh was whenever he talks about his time with the covering the Rome Braves with his little column in the Rome News Tribune, I was attending games. So yeah, so he and I crossed paths, I think once or twice, and he came and spoke. If people can really believe that Berry College, one of the most conservative colleges there is, allowed Josh Brown to come on campus and speak, that really did happen. So it was a fun experience. But yeah, so listened to the show for a long time, and then man, it's good stuff.
Wait, someone at the college had Josh Brown speak?
Exactly, they had Josh Brown speak at the college to a journalism class. So let that sink in for a second.
You know, maybe college should be free for everyone, because if this is the stuff they're learning, why are we charging people for this? This is ridiculous.
It was wild. It was wild.
It's crazy. So, okay. I'm kind of jealous because is calling a baseball game not just like the coolest gig in the world?
Dude, a little background on it. I grew up just a massive baseball fan. Anyone who grew up in the state of Georgia, I mean, I feel like I was a massive Braves fan. So playing sports, I stopped playing sports and I was like, hey, I know I want to try to keep working in sports because this is a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of preparation that you have to have and you have to do, but I think just the process of knowing that every single night in, night out, you're watching baseball and talking about it. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty fun.
Well, right. I mean, yeah, I say that like, oh, it's all fun and games and there's no actual work. I mean, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that you do. There's a lot of preparation. But there's got to be times where you're sitting back and going, dude, this is not bad. I look at a guy like Jeff Rancourt, who's just so natural, so gifted, and I hope the Braves can keep him around, but I think he's going to be a huge star. And I'm like, dang, he's got it made. You know what I mean? Like, he goes from playing baseball to just being like, yeah, I'll just roll up to the stadium and we're going to talk baseball every night while I watch the Braves.
Yeah, like, I mean, and
you're
going to
kind
him,
of pinch yourself at some points.
And I'll say this for him, like, a lot of broadcasters won't say this, but like for them to be able, for Jeff Francoeur, he's from the state of Georgia. So like for him to be able to play for his hometown team and then get to go and watch his hometown team every single night and talk about it, like that's the dream job. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of like pinch yourself. Like, I could be digging ditches right now. I could be a roofer. And yet, yes. Here I am, you know. So how long have you been doing work with the Barons?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just started this year. So coronavirus has – I haven't even announced a game for Birmingham yet. Like, that's where we're at right now. I haven't done anything for Birmingham yet because of coronavirus. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the season.
Well, you know, it's we're all in this quarantine thing. We're all in lockdown, and hopefully they'll sound the alarm and let us out of our cells here pretty soon so we can have some free time. But, you know, you're right. You never know. I mean, we all think hopefully there's going to be baseball played at some point this year. I don't know. I mean, I got no idea. I don't know if there'll be baseball or football or anything going on the rest of the year, which is insane. What have you been doing to stay busy during this whole lockdown period?
Watched a lot of movies, so I'm ashamed to say this because I know you guys rag on each other for movies. I have never seen Mission Impossible, any of them. So this week, starting Sunday night, we started that. My dad and I did. We flipped on Netflix or Hulu or whichever one it's on, YouTube TV, I'm not sure. One of the millions of streaming services we have, and we started that. So I think we watched the fourth one last night. So we're trying to knock that out. So just trying to, you know, read a book, do something that's productive. It's tough. It's really tough. There's so much free time right now, and it's one of those things too. Like working in baseball, you don't have a ton to do because you prepare during the off season. You get ready, and then what is it when we're recording? This is the 24th, so you know the MLB is supposed to start what a day or two? It's 25th. So,
I don't even know what day of the week is.
Honestly, that's been happening. I don't even know what day of the week it is. It's crazy.
We're recording like 8:30 in the morning. I'm not even fully here yet. I don't know. It's just, what day is this? October? Yeah, I've been doing the same thing. I'll be honest with you. I've seen Mission Impossible 1, which is really good. I saw Mission Impossible 2 in theaters, and I just remember it because it had that Metallica song in it. And I don't think I've seen any of the rest. I think there's like six of them.
Yeah, and I think he's coming out with a seventh one. I mean, it's, you know, they're just milking the franchise at this point, just getting every dollar they can. That's so
all Hollywood does these days.
Yes, it's crazy.
Like, there's no original ideas anymore. They're just like, we're going to redo that and redo this. And like, since my senior year of high school, I've seen three different guys play Spider-Man. That seems a little ridiculous, but you know, here we are. That's kind of the world we live in. So, super jealous of you getting to call baseball games. That seems crazy. So Birmingham Bears, Michael Jordan, I feel like we have young listeners and may not know this and may not remember. Michael Jordan quit playing basketball after winning three straight NBA championships and said, yeah, I'm going to go play pro baseball. Ended up there in Birmingham. Of course, he didn't really stick in the majors and really didn't stick in the minors either. But is it weird that like the most famous Birmingham Baron of all time is a guy who's more famous for winning six NBA championships?
Dude, it is. I mean, we get guys that – we get email requests from people like the van, like or the bus. I don't know if you've ever heard the story about like the bus that he sponsored. It was like a $300,000 bus or something. I mean, it was this full decked out bus that the Barons traveled on because obviously minor leaguers don't fly anywhere. It's all traveling by bus. So, yeah, man, it's weird. I mean, you have the in Birmingham too, I think it's crazy because you had some good players that have come through there. I mean, one guy that's from my hometown of Columbus, Georgia, played at Auburn, Frank Thomas, he was a Baron for a year. So he's a Hall of Famer. So like to have a guy like that, but for it to be a guy who batted like 211 with like three home runs. It's just, it's crazy. But obviously, it's because of what he meant to the sports world. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going to go play baseball now.
But isn't it still kind of impressive that a dude just leaves the NBA and then in minor league baseball goes and hits 211 with like three home runs? Like, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I couldn't just start playing minor league baseball right now and hit over 200 and hit a home run. Like, that, I wouldn't make contact with the ball. You know, that just shows like how athletes are just on another level, like from whether it's coordination or muscle memory or whatever. They're just, athletes are a different breed. Like, think about Tim Tebow, a guy who, you know, one of the greatest college football players of all time, goes to the NFL, first round pick. You know, for all he lacked as a quarterback, he's won a playoff game in the NFL. And then he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to play baseball. I haven't played since high school. And now he's, you know, of course he's got some major holes in his game, but he's also super duper strong and is smashing home runs in spring training. Like, not like, everybody can just roll out of bed and be like, I'll just go play baseball now and I can, you know, actually be decent at it. Like, that's insane. I can't do anything like good after taking 8 years off. You know, that's, it's one of those things, like, if LeBron James wanted to put on ice skates, give him like 6 months and he'd be like a defenseman in the NHL. He'd be like the best one.
That's terrifying.
Like, that's just, like, right?
That's like, absolutely terrifying.
Put LeBron James in net. No one's scoring on him. Like, that's just not happening.
Man.
I mean, Atlanta United goalkeeper, you know, LeBron James would be a freakish thing to see, but that's just, they're a different breed. You know, pro athletes are, we can't even relate to what that's like, you know? Now you have some more gigs, but say you're kind of a renaissance man here, Bryce. You not only have the job with the Birmingham Barons, but you also do a little bit in the college football world too. Is that right?
Oh yeah, man. You know, it's somehow, some way you have to be involved in college recruiting world or football world doing, well, first off, it's recruiting for 24/7 sports. That's like CBS affiliates. Like, I'm a part of it, but I'll be honest with you, it's absolutely crazy how much we sit around and talk about what an 18-year-old and how he's going to affect our favorite team and the nasty Twitter comments that people make at 18-year-olds because they don't choose their school is just absolutely ridiculous. But hey, I mean, it earns me a paycheck, so I'll keep doing it. But it's just absolutely bizarre that that's something that we, you know, check every single day.
Oh yeah. Like, I love recruiting. My wife yells at me every month when the statement, you know, from the sites I'm, you know, joined come out. What is this? I'm like, remember last month when you yelled at me about it? It's like, you still do that? I'm like, yeah. And it is totally weird. I'm like, cause I'll tell her, I'll be like, hey, you know, this kid's the number 10 player in all of high school. And she's like, how do you even know that? Why do you care?
Well,
he's visiting Georgia this weekend, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, he's a 17-year-old kid. Like, you're a 34-year-old man. What's wrong with you? But it is, it's if you're a college football fan, recruiting is like, it's 24/7, you know, so it goes on all year. It's basically like having a free agency period that lasts 12 months a year. You know, so if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, of course you're going to be interested in the players the Dallas Cowboys sign. It's kind of like getting Christmas gifts, because these players in your imagination, this could be the guy that becomes the best player of all time and leads your team to the championship. You know, I mean, so there is a little bit of a, you know, you could kind of, I don't know, I guess project on these guys, and it provides hope for the future. You know, it's exciting. Plenty of guys love watching the MLB draft, and these are guys you're not going to see, you know, anything from on the major league level for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So I get it that it is a little weird, because sometimes I have to ask myself, like, why do I care? But, you know, it's just being competitive, that kind of stuff. But so you work for it's the Hive, right?
Georgia Tech. Yeah, so it's covering Georgia Tech recruiting. It's kind of crazy because, like, obviously you're talking about Georgia. Their site is massive. Our site's a little bit smaller. I just cover the recruiting. We got a couple guys on staff, that one guy that does like all the game recaps and features and stuff like that, but I strictly do recruiting. And so we were talking last night before we got on, or 2 nights ago, and through Twitter, about like you know, the new coaching staff there. It's exciting, at least. I mean, they got some excitement. There's the whole Waffle House thing. And, I mean, I love Waffle House. So, that's cool.
Jeff Collins has embraced Waffle House like crazy. He's done what I thought everybody needed to do at Georgia Tech, which is embrace the Atlantan-ness of Georgia Tech. Like, what's something unique that sets Georgia Tech apart? Well, you're in Atlanta. You are right smack dab in the middle of the city. And he has embraced that and really marketed that to great success. Paul Johnson, the prior coach, partly due to his system and partly due to the fact that he just didn't care, was not much of a recruiter. And now you've really got some fresh energy and fresh, you know, passion from the head coach there at Georgia Tech. So if you're a fan of the Ramblin' Wreck, it's got to be nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's exciting. I've been to a couple press conferences, and like you said, the marketing aspect. I mean, he has this whole idea. I mean, it's safe to say I'd call a marketing plan. He has all of this, much like Kirby Smart did with, you know, this aggressive approach, the pedigree when he came from Alabama for Georgia fans. I mean, you think, go back to that, Georgia fans were ecstatic to have a kind of new life. But, yeah, the switch from Paul Johnson to Jeff Collins is one of the most stark contrasts. And this is something, too, I had a buddy that played at Georgia Tech way before this. We were growing up together, and he said when they graduated, they have, like, this job career fair. And so you think about Georgia Tech, you're like, okay, this is going to be some of the top companies in the world. And he said they're walking around, you know, there's, like, the Googles, the Apples, and then in the corner there's Waffle House. So, like, Waffle House is, like, brings representatives there for their job fair, which is just weird to me. But hey, that's awesome. Go work at Waffle House after you get a 4-year degree from Tech. Do that. That sounds great.
Yeah, you know, they've embraced the Waffle House, the 404. And he's a guy like I watch him on the sidelines. The Georgia Tech game last year, they I think it was an onside kick that Tech recovered. And so kind of to show his passion and energy, Jeff Collins drops on the sidelines and does 10 push-ups. And I was kind of like, can you imagine a scenario where, like, Bill Belichick drops down on the sidelines and does 10 push-ups because he's so excited? I'm like, what is this? I had a feeling Kirby Smart's, like, looking across the field like, who is this jackass? But, you know, hey, I think Collins is going to be one of those guys where if he's your coach, you love him. And if he's your rival's coach, you're like, this guy. This guy's a pain in the butt, you know. But they're recruiting a lot better there at Georgia Tech, which is with their – academic restrictions. You know, Georgia Tech is a good school. It's a great school. It's hard to get into. So that's always kind of, some coaches have used that as an excuse of why they can't do well at Georgia Tech. But Collins seems to embrace that, and he hits that recruiting trail real hard. They got some good talent coming in.
No, they really do. I mean, to bore everyone with the numbers, but I think they sat like outside of the top 50, and mostly that was due to like the option system. The boring system that kids didn't feel like they could go to the NFL. But I think this recruiting class was like number 26 in the country. So, yeah, I mean, they've seen some big improvement and they have some exciting young guys. They have a running back from like Atlanta, from the Atlanta area. His last name's Gibbs.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on this Jahmyr kid. Gibbs. Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah. He dominated his senior year. And so, they have some talent. So that's exciting. And I know for Georgia fans, I'll just say it's cool. I grew up a Georgia fan. So, you know, that's something where when you look at that as from a Georgia fan's perspective, like you kind of want that rivalry to be good. Cause like you get to Thanksgiving and you have the Iron Bowl, you have all these great rivalries, and it's like that 12 PM kickoff against Tech. You're like, okay, when's this over so we can watch the CBS Iron Bowl game? Right. Like it's just like,
I'm ready to see the Iron Bowl. So, give me the 3:30.
So yeah, that'll be good. Like if this rivalry can be good, that'll be a lot more fun.
No, right, because I've always maintained that as a big Georgia fan, Tech is the biggest rival. Your in-state rival is always first and foremost because that's what matters with recruiting. Georgia is such a fertile recruiting ground. Actually, I think starting a couple of years ago, actually put more Division I talent out than the entire state of California, which is insane. But that's because, look, that's such a big battleground. You want to stay the dominant program in that state. So these guys stay home and play for University of Georgia and not for your rival. You know, some people will tell you Florida's the biggest rival. Some may say Auburn. To me, it's always been Georgia Tech. And making that rivalry fun again would be huge. I don't want to play at noon. I want to be in the biggest game, you know, that we possibly could be. And make that game more fun like it was growing up as a child. I remember watching Georgia Tech win three straight there at the end of the 90s. And it was like, nothing is worse as a Georgia fan than losing to Georgia Tech. I think the team you want to beat the most is probably Florida. But the team you're most afraid of losing to, just because how bad it feels, is Georgia Tech. It is the worst feeling in the world. So,
oh yeah,
I'm a little nervous about Collins because all of a sudden they jumped up and they are high in the recruiting rankings. They've got talent coming in. That Jahmyr Gibbs kid you talked about, when Georgia Tech is fending off Florida and Ohio State for guys, that's a sign of good things right there. I can't tell you the last time the kid said no, sorry Ohio State. I'm going to stay at Georgia Tech and play football. Like that just that doesn't occur very often.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, that's a really good sign. Like you said, when you're fending off top schools, because kids see the pedigree that Collins has. And I mean, it's exciting. Every single kid that I've talked to is like, oh, yeah, it's exciting, the energy, and we get to eat Waffle House after practice. So, which is a real thing. Like they have like a food truck that Waffle House will come like after certain practices. And they're like, eating breakfast after their 6 a.m. workout. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting. And then you start to see, like, when you get close to these college football programs, you realize, like, it's kind of an icky feeling when you see how much money is involved and these kids don't get paid a dime, at least legally get paid a dime. Mm-hmm. These facilities they have, it's amazing. Like, this isn't like, oh, you show up and you got this dingy old locker room, you know, like at the high school, and you're, you know, in like this old shed out behind the stadium changing clothes. No, some of these big time college football programs, they operate like NFL teams. Like, everything is to the nines. Like, it is just perfect. And it's kind of a when you see all this, it's kind of a gross feeling when you start to think about these kids are out there risking their lives and their livelihoods, and they're not getting paid a dime. It's, you know, of course they get value out of it and the education and all that, but man, there's so much money flying around college football and none of it gets broken off to the kids. It's kind of weird.
It is weird. I mean, and you look at even at the smaller schools, like lower D1, I mean, you're in Macon, Mercer Stadium. That's a really nice stadium. It's a really cool, I mean, the school is really nice to begin with, but, man, they're pumping money into smaller schools. And so, yeah, it's wild. And I'll tell you, I mean, I believe this. If you don't believe that college athletes are paid under the table, then I don't know what game you're watching, because it's such a real thing, and it's going to get out of control. I think it's going to spiral out of control at some point unless a decision's made.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of got, there's got to be a tipping point somewhere, right? I mean, like, I'm a college football fan, and I want college football to be viable and be a healthy commodity for a long time, but it seems like there's got to be a breaking point here at some point where you've got so much money flying into these programs, and I think the public perception and just the temperature of the room as far as people's opinions about whether college football players should be paid has completely shifted, you know? Where I think years ago people would be totally against it, and now I think more people than ever are like, yeah, they need to find some way to help these kids out. And yeah, if you think that your rival is the only team cheating and that your team is you know, all prim and proper, then you got another thing coming, because this dirtiness goes on everywhere. And I'm sure, you know, following recruiting, I'm sure there's some things that you have heard that you can't report on, but some definite things that you go, oh, okay, that's seems a little bit shady, but we'll go with that.
I'll say this. There's been a certain guy in particular that I actually played in high school against. He transferred from Florida to Georgia Tech. His name's Antonius Clayton. He played down in Dooley County, Atlanta, mm-hmm. Georgia.
Yeah.
And he transferred to Georgia Tech because his mom was sick. And I know Georgia had a similar situation with the tight end, I think last year, Luke Ford, that Trent went back. But he had a family that was sick, and the NCAA didn't grant him eligibility. So you have kids that are playing on ESPN, getting, when they go to bowl games, they get all this crazy swag, all this crazy stuff. And then they go back home where it's complete poverty. And so, like, not trying to get overly emotional and make it so sentimental, but It is a problem, I think, when you have kids that they see how much money they go on the campus and see how much money's here, and they go back home and their families are struggling back home. So I think it is something where eventually, like you said, it's going to come to a point where they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here, call it what it is. You've got a bunch of affluent white men that are making a huge profit off of a lot of young black men from very impoverished backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
And a little that is, I'm stereotyping a bit, and that's sort of an unfair, broad generalization because it doesn't apply to everybody. But on the majority, I mean, especially in the Southeast, you know, you find a lot of people from these small towns. You know, you mentioned Antonius Clayton being from Dooley County. You know, there's kind of like Atlanta, Nashville, Charlotte, and then basically everybody else is in this little tiny town. And we, you know, I learned more about geography from following college football recruiting than anywhere else. I've lived in Georgia pretty much my whole life. And still, we find it. I'm like, where is that? He's from what town? It's, you know, like all these Mayberry towns. But that's it. I mean, you got guys that this is their shot to go to college and get a degree and make it to the league and provide for their families. And, you know, some of these guys, like you mentioned Luke Ford. Kid was a 5-star recruit from Illinois, comes down to Athens, Georgia, best tight end in high school. And after a year, his grandfather is dying and wants to go back home and be close to his family. So he decides to transfer back home to Illinois. I mean, he's not the first or last person to go away to college and get a little homesick after a year. No big deal. But the NCAA won't let him play right away, even though he's got a very valid excuse. His excuse was not, oh, I got beat out for the starting job, like Justin Fields. NCAA is kind of an icky thing, man. It's hard to be a college football fan and support a system like the NCAA that's just so weird and so backwards and makes no sense.
Oh, it's bizarre. And I think, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to say this, but I think, did Luke Ford's grandfather pass away? I want to say saw something on Twitter about that.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, so that's sad. And then recently, I don't know the full story, but I don't know if you saw it. Like Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend started to GoFundMe for relief or something, and the NCAA shut it down, and then everyone bashed him. So like last night, which would have been Tuesday night, whenever this episode comes out, but like it comes out that they completely just, you know, we're like, oh, never mind, that's okay. So it's the NCAA's a little shady. And so it's some of the stuff, like, I know you guys talk about how shady Major League Baseball and like Rob Manfred is and just all the stuff. I mean, the NCAA, I feel like every single league, and whether it's the NCAA, MLB, NFL, all this stuff, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that we may not want to know about.
Oh, yeah, always. And especially with baseball. I mean, if y'all think Rob Manfred, we know about a lot of stuff. Imagine what we don't know about, you know? Like, how bad is
this guy?
The stuff
we do know, yes. The stuff we do know seems awful. Like the stuff that we don't know has to be even worse.
It's almost like they hired a sleazeball lawyer to be the commissioner of Major League Baseball. I don't know. Maybe they did.
Oh, jeez.
Bryce, appreciate you joining me this morning. It's bright and it's early, but we knocked this out. Best of luck with the Hive and Birmingham Barons. We can't wait to get the season going. I know I miss baseball. I know you do too. Man, I hope we get some resolution on this soon, because I know everybody's itching and my Twitter timeline is going crazy with people complaining that there's no baseball. Like we get it. We're all in the same boat here. We all want baseball back, trust me. So I know you do more than ever, because I know you're ready to get going and get that microphone in front of your face. So best of luck with that, man. Remember
appreciate
us when you're
that. Appreciate that.
When you're the next Jeff Francoeur, you just remember us back here at Nakahoma Nation, okay?
Awesome. Appreciate it, man.
Where can everybody of course, man. Where can everybody find you out on the Twitters?
Yeah, so at Bryce, it's BRYCE _ Coon, KON. So yeah, that's where I'm on the Twitters talking about. Most of my Twitter timeline due to work is full of a bunch of Georgia Tech stuff. So but we have fun with it sometimes, and I follow a lot of the Braves Twitter, so I see a lot of that stuff, and it is absolutely crazy, absolutely bizarre. But, yeah, no, that's @Bryce_Coon, and that's about it, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, dude. If you guys see Bryce out in their Twitters, interact with him. Hopefully you enjoyed this little interview. And if you didn't enjoy it, well, no one cares what you think. So deal with that. Thanks for coming on with us, Bryce. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
See you, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Nakahoma Nation, the nation's leading replacement-level ill-informed podcast. If you'd like more information, you can check out NakahomaNation.com. You can follow them on Twitter at NakahomaNTN, or you can find Nakahoma Nation on Facebook. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, please visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. Special thanks to Nakahoma Nation spiritual advisor John D. Howard, research assistant Braves Options Guy, and Nakahoma Nation intern Caleb Payne. Have a great week. Call your mom, stay hydrated, and keep it between the ditches, bitches.